Okay, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. My guest today, once again, is Robert Young Pelton. We actually have a few more minutes, and then there's another short break that's going to kick in. But getting back to what we were just talking about, yeah, I just referred to the peace talks Bush is going over there for, but I'm not so sure that's a, I think that's a misnomer. I don't think they're interested in peace. I really don't. I think they want more war, get more contracts, generate more money, get more bases built, grab more land. I mean, it's very shallow with these neocons, what their objective is. I don't think, you know, they're like a little kid in a candy store, you know.
I think you have to have a little historical perspective, because to truly understand this generation of neocons, you only have to watch what they did in the 80s with the Russians. And there's a fascinating series of documentaries called The Power of Nightmares, if you Google it on YouTube.
Oh, that's fantastic, sure.
That is a mind-blower, because when you hear Donald Rumsfeld talk about WMDs, and they're so secretive we can't find them, you swear he's talking about Iraq, but he's actually talking about the Soviet Union months before it collapsed. And what you see is a constant effort to create a bigger enemy than the government itself. And as we all know, the economy is going to be the number one issue, and we're going to be asking ourselves, how the hell did the economy get so bad when all the time you've been promising us that everything's wonderful? And people are going to realize that they've had their hand off the wheel. And by focusing on Al-Qaeda or whatever enemy of the week we have to go kill, we've lost
the distraction.
Focus. Yeah, we've lost focus on what really matters, which is our own families, our own neighborhoods.
Well, it's not only a distraction, but it's a way to manipulate people. If you can get them in fear, then they'll rally behind you.
Well, can you imagine all the while Bush's presidency had there not been 9/11? My personal opinion is that he truly didn't understand what was going on, but he was urged to turn what should have been a very covert surgical effort, in other words, to kill bin Laden and his deputies, into this global conflict which has pushed billions, if not trillions of dollars, into the military-industrial sector and taken it away from some of the public welfare and health things.
Do you really think bin Laden is beyond their reach? They don't know where he is. They can't find him. I mean, do you really think they want to find him?
Well, I consider myself a bin Laden expert, and I've been able to find everybody I've ever looked for, and it might take me 2 or 3 years, but my experience is that if someone can stay out of the public eye that long, that means he's protected by a government, and my estimate
or that he's dead.
No, I don't think he's dead, because he released videos and tapes that reference current events, but my estimate is that he's in one of two places. He's either under the protection of the ISI, which is the Pakistani intelligence group, in the Islamabad, Chitral area, or he's actually being harbored by Iran in the Mashhad area, which most people will scratch their heads and say, why would a Sunni wingnut be harbored by Shia fundamentalists? And it's because that's their best ace up the sleeve.
Yeah.
And Iran traditionally harbored people like that because it works against the interests of the U.S., like Hezbollah and people like that.
I like to make reference to an old Al Yankovic spinoff of the song Lola.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a song called Yoda. And there's a line in there that said, I know Darth Vader's really got you annoyed, but remember, if you kill him, then you'll be unemployed. You know, I think bin Laden is the greatest asset that they have to engage in their imperialistic endeavors in the Middle East.
Well, it's fascinating to hear President Musharraf said, when he was asked on CBS whether he's actively hunting bin Laden, he said no. But, you know, if we find him in our activities against Al-Qaeda, that'll be fine. And you've heard the same statement from the U.S. government when people ask.
Oh, Bush has said it, too. I'm not so much concerned about him. You know, first we're going to get him dead or alive, and then, oh, he's off my priority list. You know, I'm not too worried about him. And
right.
What are you worried about, Mr. Bush, then?
Well, the interesting thing is Al-Qaeda, you know, I have a lot of experience with terrorist groups. It's always been sort of a mythical organization. And at its peak, before September 11th, there were maybe a maximum of 120 people who pledged allegiance to bin Laden.
Yeah.
And now it's sort of morphed into what they call the mafia, which is sort of a generic term for anybody who hates this that's Islamic. And that's unfortunate.
Right. I tell you what, this is that short break, but we'll be right back, folks. Stick with us.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. This is your host, Charles Giuliani. We're joined once again by Robert Young Pelton. And we're all set on the commercials there for a while, so we can... get back into a deep discussion here. Yeah, once again, why don't you mention your website? Folks, he's the author of License to Kill, a book about Blackwater, a very interesting read. And again, you want to mention your website?
Yeah, it's www.comebackalive.com, and there's a bunch of information on what I do and also a chat forum which people can use when they travel or work in dangerous places called Black Flag Cafe, which is kind of fun.
All right, there you go. So, yeah, we were talking before about the Power Nightmares. That is an excellent documentary. As a matter of fact, after watching that, you know, you come away with the feeling that, you know, there really isn't much we can believe that this administration is telling us. I even question if Al-Qaeda exists in the form that we've been told, this globally coordinated network. I remember shortly after 9/11, Ashcroft was trying to pressure Congress into voting for the Patriot Act. And he said, if you don't do this, there's going to be another attack, and it'll be your fault because you didn't vote this law that gives us the powers we need to fight terrorism. He said, this country is overflowing with Al-Qaeda networks, sleeper cells all over the country. Well, less than a year later, the FBI came out and said they found no evidence of any sleeper cells anywhere in the United States. This was nothing but hype, just to manipulate people through fear, manipulate Congress. And,
well,
you know,
just to give you some insight, I wrote a book called The Three Worlds Gone Mad, which was one of the stories about my trip to Chechnya with an American jihadi, an Irish-American who had trained in bin Laden's camps. and had fought in Bosnia, Chechnya, a bunch of places, and became a CIA asset and then an FBI asset. And he actually fingered Hani Hanjour to the FBI before 9/11 and said, there's a bunch of people here who don't fit into the Islamic community. They're up to no good. And they basically blew him off because people forget. But before 9/11, we thought that a terrorist was a guy from New York who was in the army who would blow up places like Oklahoma. So our profile for a terrorist was actually an American ex-military person who was disgruntled. Yeah. Remember the militias and all that crackdown? Well, the strange thing is that when I found John Walker Lind, I was very clear about talking to him about where he came from and who he fought for. And he very clearly said that he was an Arabic-speaking volunteer, trained by bin Laden, stayed in his camps, and fought for Al-Ansar. When he got to the States, they charged him with being a member of the Taliban, which was a joke because he was a member of Al-Qaeda, as they call it. But the problem is Al-Qaeda was always called Al-Ansar, in other words, the volunteers, and in the Quran there's a famous battle in which Muhammad wins the battle because these foreigners come to his aid. And the curious thing about that is that pretty much any foreigner who fights in an Islamic country is now called Al-Qaeda, even though they might come from an insurgent group that has a very valid reason for fighting their government in Uzbekistan or the Philippines or Saudi Arabia.
So it's really a name that's been given, a blanket name that's been given across the board by the West. It's not even something...
The perfect way to think of Al-Qaeda is the mafia. You know, back in the 50s and the 60s, we knew we had criminals, and we knew they were sort of Italian gangs, they were Jewish gangs, they were Irish gangs. And rather than trying to explain that to people, they just created this term called the mafia, which was a term used for organized crime. And what that does is that confuses people because there is no such thing as the mafia. The Italians used to call it Cosa Nostra, you know. When you talk to people who are in what we call Al-Qaeda, they say, no, I'm with the UMI in Uzbekistan, or I'm with Abu Sayyaf. I'm not part of Al-Qaeda. So what we've done is we've confused
generic term,
and lumped them into one global jihad, which is, you know, of course, false.
Right, right. But, hey, whatever it takes to drum up support for their own Western jihad, I guess.
Well, more importantly, I think our government currently is trying to recreate the enemy in their own style. In other words, they're trying to portray it as an international, global army of crazy fundamentalists.
Coordinated,
right, and if you turn the mirror back on the neocons, you kind of say, well, isn't that what you are? Aren't you sort of religiously focused?
That's my question exactly, yeah.
I like to tell a joke that the Taliban and the neocons would get along well because they both love pickup trucks and guns and family values.
Well, you know, to me, the essence of terrorism is to just, you know, inflict fear in a people so they can be manipulated. In fact, that's a definition that the neocons have given their opponents.
Right, but you look at Gitmo and Shock and Awe, that's also the definition of terrorism. So. The funny thing is that these are people desperately trying to come up with a solution to an enemy that doesn't exist. And one of the sad things about an enemy that's been created by the government is that there are enemies. There are people who want to blow us up. There are people who go into subways in London and kill people. But because we don't understand them, because we keep looking for some giant ghostly thing called Al-Qaeda, we don't seem to understand exactly why these people are doing what they're doing. And if you get on the ground and you regionalize it, you understand exactly who these people are and why they're doing what they're doing.
And for us to perpetuate the same type of activities that have inspired hatred against us over the decades, and actually to exponentially increase those types of antagonisms, that's not going to solve.
Your question about Iran. Look at Iraq circa 2002. How many terrorists were there in Iraq? There was exactly 120 guys fighting for Ansar al-Islam against Iran in the north corner of Kurdistan.
Yeah, today, a real significant threat.
Today there are literally tens of thousands of people who are angry, disgruntled, and sort of pledge allegiance to Islamic causes against America. And you have to ask yourself, how do we go from being in a sterile environment to being the incubator?
There was an international terrorism report. I guess this has been coming out since the 80s. I don't know if it's like an auspice under the UN or whatever, but they report every year on all instances of terrorism around the world. And in 2005, I think it was, they stated that it was up like 600% from the previous year, terrorism incidents.
That's not even
and
right.
Condoleezza,
of course. U.S. troops in that number. And you have to remember that more Americans have been killed by terrorists in the last 3 years than any other time in our history. Because, A, we've created them, and, B, we've gone into their backyard.
Condoleezza was so embarrassed about it, she pressured them, you know, to lower their numbers, lower the figures. She didn't want this report to come out because it showed that their war on terror is a fraud. It's not stopping terrorism, it's magnifying it.
Right. I mean, when in 2001, after 9/11, when I saw the towers come down, it became clear to me that they'd finally done it. After about 10 years of planning, the people who supported the blind sheikh had come up with a way to topple the World Trade Center. The person directly responsible for that was Osama bin Laden and a guy who came to him with the idea. And the total sum money spent on that was about $500,000. And the total number of people involved in that singular attack was about 24. Now, we had people on the ground. And if you remember Mike Spann, the guy, the CIA paramilitary, who was one of the first to die, or was the first to die in the war on terror, was actually standing by waiting to grab bin Laden a few months before 9/11. And his mission was turned off. There's been 8 attempts to go in.
Well, you know, bin Laden passed an executive bin Laden, yeah. Our own bin Laden in the White House there. Bush passed an executive order in January of 2001, which actually called off something that Clinton had started.
Right.
You know, called off the hunt for bin Laden, told the FBI and the CIA to back away, and that if any agents were caught continuing this investigation and this pursuit, that, you know, they would be liable for charges, federal, you know, charges. He didn't want bin Laden to be hunted down.
Well, the point I want to make is that the U.S. government is completely capable of hunting down criminals and bringing them to justice.
Sure.
What we're not capable of doing is social engineering on a scale like Iraq, where we go into a country of 25 million people with decades of simmering ethnic divisions and problems and all of a sudden try to wave our magic wand and turn it into California. And you know, we've seen that over and over again, where people have to rise or fall to the level of their own society. We really can't force them to change into a democratic society overnight. So, you know, the lesson that I've learned is that we have thousands of very capable anti-terrorist fighters who can get on a plane, terminate someone, get back on a plane, and go home and watch TV that night without anybody knowing about it. But when we send in hundreds of thousands of ground troops and we spend trillions of dollars, it's just not going to work. The government cannot fix things. They can't even fix things for us here. So how are they going to fix things for Iraqis over there?
Well, that's the whole point. I don't see that they're interested in fixing things. You know, we've murdered now in Iraq probably upwards of 1 million people is something, you know.
Well, we'll never
the
know.
Estimates
I mean, I spent a few months just digging up mass graves, and nobody will ever know how many people died in Iraq, either by Saddam or U.S. But I think the important thing to remember is that the American people have a good heart, and they want to do the right thing. And they trust their president. When the president says that Iraq is going to send WMDs and, you know, kill thousands of people and create mushroom clouds, we no longer believe the president. And we no longer believe that our government can carry out the promises they make to us. And over the next 2 or 3 years, as the economy slides into recession and people start thinking, well, wait a second, not only did you lie to us about what was most important, you failed at doing it, and the poor guy who's going to run the country or woman next year is going to be left
with a scary thought.
Pile of mess. Yeah, well, hopefully Hillary won't get in. But the point is that it's undermined America's prestige in the world. It's undermined our ability to fix problems, because we can fix things. I mean, you know, when the tsunami in Indonesia hit, you know, we were there. We spent billions of dollars helping people and getting things right. So we can do some things very well, but one thing we can't do is fight an invisible enemy.
Right. Well, you know, like you said, we have the capacity to fix things. Question is, you know, do they really want to? I don't see them wanting to. I think they are enjoying lining their pockets with all the profits they're making from companies that they contract with that they have investments in, including oil companies, by the way.
Well, I think we're in the second generation now, where a lot of people were very concerned after September 11th, and they committed their resources to doing things. And now it's become a system whereby if you are a government contractor, you can put a bid in to make some gizmo that will make things better. They'll pay you millions of dollars, and you'll be happily doing that for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that the American public is waking up and recognizing that they can't trust this particular scoundrel in the White House, because he is lying to us about everything under the sun. Okay, guys, short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Okay, you're back on Truth Radio here, Truth Hurts Radio with Charles Giuliani. We've got Robert Young Pelton as our guest. I'll tell you what, we got a caller, Dave in Texas. Why don't we go to him at this time? Welcome to the show, Dave.
Good afternoon. Can you
hear me? Welcome.
Yeah,
loud and clear.
Well, he made a statement a while ago that blind Sheikh's followers finally figured out how to implement their alleged laws of physics over here in America, and I was just wondering if he could explain how, in fact, they did that.
Well, if you remember, they had previously tried to take down the World Trade Center.
Well, there was an Egyptian involved in that recorded the FBI's involvement in that episode. Did you recall that?
Well, the FBI was monitoring and had informants in that group. Sheikh Abdul Rahman is actually a very dear person to Osama bin Laden, and bin Laden actually adopted one of his kids or took one of his kids in. And what they did is they viewed the World Trade Center as sort of the hub of, you know, Zionist activity in America. And at the time, there were a number of stock brokerage firms and bankers and whatever. And I don't know why they fixated on that, but at that time, that was a symbol to them. And they tried to blow it up by putting Ryder rental trucks with explosives under one of the columns, and that didn't work.
Well, isn't that the same M.O. that was used at Oklahoma City?
Yes, it was actually a very common way to detonate. It actually came from Lebanon.
So it isn't like here in America we have these two characters and parties in the interest of the Anti-Defamation League and the FBI, and they seem to be the ones perpetrating that M.O. over here in America.
Well, it's a common MO. It's used around the world. It was used by Hezbollah and against U.S. troops in Lebanon, and so that technology actually becomes disseminated through a number of terrorist groups.
Well,
and
if
the idea
you
of flying planes in the buildings
in the Middle East.
Oh, wait, well, hold on. Let him finish. Wait.
Well, I was going to say the concept of flying planes in the buildings was first carried out in America by a FedEx pilot who, a disgruntled black FedEx pilot, attacked some pilots with a hammer, and his goal was to fly the FedEx plane into their headquarters in Memphis, which is a bizarre story, but that's where the first idea of a plane being used as a flying bomb occurred.
Well, actually, there's another one, too, but anyway, go ahead.
So my point is that the group of people who proposed the idea of bin Laden were doing this to continue or carry out revenge, and of course, you know, revenge in the Middle East is an important thing. Strictly to show or to kind of show that they had power and that they could strike back. There was never any intent. I mean, they tried to topple the towers, but they sort of given up on that. Their major intent was creating a media event, and even bin Laden's people were surprised that the towers collapsed the way they did.
Well, but, as I mean, that just gets us to the issue of how did they actually fall down, and I don't personally believe that you had little guys in there with magic carpets putting...
Well, here's my beef with this whole fiasco, the whole 9/11 thing, is we've been told that these guys were master planners.
Well, that's not true.
Does it take a master genius to figure out that if you want to target planes in New York, you better hijack planes right there in New York and hit the target right away before there's time for an intercept? You know, it only takes 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, but you have to remember, I mean, that this plan was almost like a joke. It was started by people who didn't know how to fly. They had to actually learn how to fly. The idea was hatched by Mohammed Atta, who was an engineering student who knew about the frailties of the World Trade Center, but more importantly, came up with the idea that if you put a plane into a high-level tower, the fuel would then leak down and start a fire. He wasn't actually looking at toppling it. So it was a combination of things, but the thing that affects us is that it was such a dramatic visual impact because it looked like every disaster movie we'd ever seen. There was a huge overreaction to what had happened. So if you can imagine the acts of 12 people, you know, it looked like Pearl Harbor. It looked like the end of the world, and it was responded to accordingly. And that's what launched us on this campaign of starting wars in foreign countries that really have no end, whether it's Somalia or Afghanistan or Iraq or anywhere that we feel that we're going after Islamic terror.
Well, you know, I think the best you could say about 9/11 is they wanted it to happen, and they have exploited it ever since to get whatever they want, including not only the wars overseas, but the war here against our constitutional rights and freedoms like Hitler did after the Reichstag. You know, they passed law after law after law that have turned this unelected dictator into a dictator, a tyrant.
Well, I think everybody knew something was going to happen. It's how we reacted to it that counted. I mean, if you've read the 9/11 Commission, if you've watched documentaries about the various people involved in sort of unwinding what we knew and what we didn't know, we were blindsided, but we also knew that there was going to be some attack against a major U.S. installation.
Well, I don't mean, you know, to be rude or anything, but you know, when you use the word "we," you talk about America as being unable to think outside of the Zionist box.
We
as Americans, we have our own interests to look out for, and we don't need to be constantly sacrificing our children for the people that print currency in our country. And let me go ahead and finish my statement, then I'll hop off. But you know. I don't know if you're familiar with Esau Naqaleh, but he wrote a book called The Encyclopedia of the Palestine Problem.
It tells about
the Zionist terrorists that went into Palestine and started committing massacres against Palestinians there. And America has been we've been held hostage by these people for 60 years now.
We got to go to break, Dave. Do you want to hold on?
No, I'll hop off. Thanks for having him on, though.
Okay, great. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Safely You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. For details. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. This is your host, Charles Giuliani. We're joined again today by Robert Young Pelton, author of Licensed to Kill. And we've been talking about Blackwater, a whole lot of other things. You know, I wasn't planning on going down the 9/11 road, but since the last caller did bring it up, I thought I would just mention the reason why he's skeptical, in fact, a lot of my listeners, myself included, about the official 9/11 story. One of the main reasons is the collapse of Building 7. You know, regardless where someone falls on the argument of what happened that day, there's no question that Building 7 came down by a controlled demolition. You know, there's just no explaining the way that that building came down, crumbling from the base, the roof of the building remaining level all the way down as the building collapsed. It never tipped in any direction at all. It stayed completely level. I mean, there's no accounting for that except a controlled demolition. That building wasn't hit by a plane. It had no significant fires burning in it. NIST, the National Institute of...
I used to be a blaster, so you picked the wrong guy, because on a controlled demolition, actually buildings do tilt because you have to... You can't do a pancake on a building. You have to start at a...
They can. They have the potential to. But, I mean, but for that building...
Here's what's fascinating to me. The one big secret about the global war on terror is exactly what your caller brought up. You know, when George... People get unfocused here because they think, oh, it's conspiracies, this and that. But the one thing that comes through loud and clear, you know, the last time that WMDs were used by Iraq was against Israel in the Gulf War I. And this is the foundation of the fear,
Because if you look at what a WMD is, it's something that has to be on a platform. The only platform or delivery vehicles that Saddam Hussein had were Scuds. And the only country he could reach out and strike that was within his sort of target as an enemy was Israel. Yeah. And when you saw Blair and when you saw Bush and when you saw the U.S. administration talking about imminent attacks and mushroom clouds, they weren't talking about America. They were talking about Israel.
Sure. And it's their interest.
In a lot of his verbiage, if you listen to his boring, droning speeches and you read what he writes, he's talking about Israel. He's lumping us in with Zionists, you know, Israelis, whatever. And this is the part that has not had any resonance in any of the media coverage and any of the analysis of this war, that bin Laden has declared war on two countries, not one.
Right.
Declared war on America and Israel.
Sure.
And we have gone out of our way to keep Israel out of the fight because that would make it a direct conflict between Islam and Judaism. But it's also a reason why we've expended billions of dollars is not to protect so much America, but to protect
Israel
in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question about it. And, you know, that's a very scary factor right there. What business do we have defending the interests of another country? But let's face it, what is the largest lobbyist group in Washington? I mean, doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Mm-hmm. It's obvious who's calling the shots there. They're fattening our politicians' wallets with big contributions, so much so that their behind doesn't get within 6 inches of the seat they sit on because they got big, fat wads of cash. Where does it come from? It comes from IPAC.
But if Americans are looking for solutions, in other words, how do we get out of this war and how do we stop terrorist attacks, if you just listen for 5 seconds to what they're saying is, look at Israel and Palestine and the occupied areas. Look what a civilized country is doing to another group of people in the name of democracy and freedom. And I'm not anti-Israeli and I'm not anti-Palestinian because they both have their good and bad points. But the point is that much of the war on terror is focused around Israel and what Israel is doing to Arabs. And one thing that never gets dragged into any of our sort of foreign policy arguments or our military activities is to say, hey, you have to abide by the same laws of human rights and sort of legal confines as our other allies. So when you see Palestinians being kicked out, when you see walls being built to separate, you know, Jew from Arab, that stuff resonates in the Arab media that you don't see here.
Yeah. Oh, it's glaring hypocrisy.
Well, let's take it back to our original conversation. Do you know what Iraqis call security contractors? They call them Zionists and Israeli soldiers. They have this bizarre view of security contractors as being linked directly to Israel, and it's the most bizarre thing. It's not true, of course, but it's something that they view it. You know, during the war, if you watched Arabic TV like Al Jazeera or some of the regional feeds, they would intercut shots of Israeli tanks going into refugee camps with American tanks going into Baghdad. And to the Arab world, there's no separation between those two events.
Well, rightfully so. They recognize that the U.S. does operate, obviously, in the interest of Israel, you know, showing no concern for what they're doing to the Palestinian. That is a fact. I mean, we just give them a blank check, basically, to do what they want over there. There's no consequences for them.
Right.
And, you know,
but it's in this election where if people are looking for one thing, I would think would be for solutions. You know, how do we get out of Iraq? How do we get out of that? It's not a quagmire because it's too sandy, but how do we get out of that mess called Iraq? And the solution is crystal clear. You have to actually look at what the enemy is saying to us. You know, what are they asking us to do that would then change their position on who America is and what Americans are?
Right. And, of course, that issue never gets addressed. They have no intention of addressing it. They're sweeping
it
under the rug.
It's considered failure. For some strange reason in the neocon world, we have to keep rolling tanks. We have to keep rolling tanks. We can never roll back. And yet every war ends, and yet our whole role of going into Afghanistan and Iraq was to go in and leave. But yet when you mention the word leave, they get very nervous and they don't want to set a date. They consider them the enemy. You know, if we tell them we're going to leave, that'll signal the enemy weakness. And it's like, no, it means you've succeeded. So the first step is to say, what is the finish line? When do we do what we say we're going to do in Iraq and Afghanistan? And those milestones have yet to be created.
Yeah, that's the ultimate foreign policy trump card there, is war. That's the way to solve all the world's problems. They're just all too anxious to...
And every time the Bush administration gets nailed, they move the goalposts around. So originally it was to find WMDs. Well, they didn't exist. Well, then it was to depose Saddam Hussein. Well, we did that. Then it was to create a stable government. Well, there's no hope of a stable government there. and now it's to sort of, you know, support democratic change and reconciliation. You know, it's getting stranger and stranger, but we're just not going to be leaving there. And I wish they would just tell us the truth that we're there for good.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, would you agree? We really don't have what many think we do, this bipartisanship thing, because you're seeing the Democrats already pledging that, you know, you can support me. Don't worry. It'll be business as usual. We're going to stay in Iraq. We're not going to leave Iraq. I mean, nothing's going to change this next election. Doesn't matter who gets in.
No,
as far as the war goes.
And the Democrats seem to think they'll push a button and everything will just shut down and we'll all go home. But you look at the sector, how much economy is driven by the war. In other words, all the people in the support industry. You look at what happens if troops tomorrow, if you say, okay, every military soldier leave Iraq, what would then happen to that country? It'd be 2003 riots all over again. It's just not going to happen. So I wish they would tell the truth.
So here you have it. These people, these candidates, are dependent on big money to fund their campaigns. And naturally, big money, you know, all the Fortune 500 companies, in one way or another, are tied in with Pentagon contracting companies.
But
you know, they're all interlocked.
I mean, who do you think these contractors are? They're guys from the rural South. They're truck drivers from Alabama. I mean, they're not all PhDs from Harvard. The contracting business is essentially a blue-collar business.
Right. I'm talking the big companies, the Fortune 500 companies, interlocked.
No, I mean, I'm saying you're right, but I'm also saying that a lot of the political support comes from a guy who couldn't get a job in Mobile, Alabama. But
But as far as the cash. See, that's the dichotomy here is you've got they need the votes, but they also need the cash. And so they'll tell you what you want to hear to get your vote, but the truth is, you know, they've already made promises to the big corporations that got them on the ballot in the first place.
Right. I mean, the bizarre thing is now, if you're in a small town in Mississippi, you can make $80,000 to $100,000 a year working in Iraq, but you can't get the time of day in your hometown.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, there are no jobs here. Well, hey, you know, this guy sold them over to China and India. Of course, it began before he came around, but it's been whipped into high gear. Millions, I'm sure you know, millions of jobs have been sent over. And
well, if you want to see, there's a Delta flight that goes direct to Amman, Jordan. It's called a contractor flight. And that flight is full of guys that used to work in the auto industry, you know, 300 or 400-pound black guys and good old boys from the South and whatever. And all these guys used to have jobs that vanished.
Yeah.
And they're now working in Iraq and Afghanistan and Kuwait and all these places because they can't get a job back home.
And then they talk about security all the time and keeping us safe from terrorism, but there's our wide-open borders, which, of course, has helped facilitate more cheap labor, driving our wages down for the few jobs we have left that haven't been sold overseas. I mean, this is a wreck.
You know, it's an interesting thing. I don't know if you know, I live in Southern California, and the Mexicans and Guatemalans all form sort of a union, and they refuse to work for less than $15 an hour. And my daughter went out looking for a job, and she was 24. The best she could come up with was sort of $8 to $10 to $12. And paying taxes on that. And so now what's happened is that the business boom's over, the construction boom's over. So now you have all these guys from Guatemala and El Salvador that are trapped here and all these Mexicans that can't go back because it costs almost $1,800 to get smuggled across the border now. So we've got another problem coming up. And they're already.
Do they have to actually smuggle? I mean, I get the impression that they basically get waved over as they...
No. It costs... Well, that's my specialty. If you want to take the express... you can pay $2,000 to $5,000, and they'll drive you over while you wait. They take these stolen SUVs, and they hire Americans to drive them across the border, and they have corrupt border agents to wave them through. If you want to go
No kidding. That's how they do it, huh?
Uh-huh. If you want to take the slow way, it's about $1,800, and it's probably climbing. And that's to get you from Tijuana, or the border region, to the actual city you're going to. In other words, they drive you from, they pick you up on the other side of the border, and they drive you to the city you want to go to. And it's a business. You know, the coyotes make a fortune doing that.
Is Blackwater running that, too?
No, but actually they're setting up a training facility along the border in San Diego, and that has made a lot of people nervous because they set it up in a place that's known for people who don't want to be disturbed by law enforcement, if you get my drift, down along the border there. And they're terrified that it's just another sort of privatization of a function that shouldn't be privatized. You know, Dyne Corp.
Yeah, somebody asked me to ask you that, actually, before the show, the San Diego Border Patrol thing. So they are doing that, huh?
Yeah, well, the DynCorp wants to get a contract. They actually have a contract to help beef up the Border Patrol. And the funny thing is, in order to fill that contract, they're poaching from Border Patrol employees. So it's almost like a bucket that, you know, if you work for the government, you might make, what, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 a year. But if you go private, you might make $120,000. So a guy leaves his government sector job and does the exact same thing, but he gets paid 40 to 50% more. And if you go to any military base today and you talk to the people, you'll see that they're actually civilians. And you say, wait a second, weren't you in the military? I say, yeah, well, I quit my job, and I came back, took the same job as a private contractor, and I make a lot more money now.
Jeez.
So all the money spent on training that person basically goes up in smoke, and now they're making...
But ultimately, it comes from the same source. It's still our tax dollars.
Well, think about it. None of these contractors could ever get a job unless they'd been a cop for 5 or 10 years or been in the military for 10 years. They don't pick people off the streets and send them over to Iraq.
Yeah.
So they're basically both capitalizing on that asset, but they're also draining that asset.
Oh, what a happy little scenario they get going there. How about, speaking of DynCorp, have you heard about their little human trafficking? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, DynCorp is famous for having one of those disasters pop up every once in a while, you know, whether it was sex slaves and
Balkans,
or whether it's gal gang raped in Iraq. It's you know, my opinion is it's the function of having a lot of guys away from home for a long period of time and without adult supervision. So I think that's to be expected in that kind of work environment, but I don't condone it.
Right.
But it's a huge company. I mean, DynCorp, just so you know, I mean, DynCorp makes most of their money with computers. They really shouldn't be in the human services business, because that's the one that causes all the grief to them. You know, Computer Science Corporation, which owns DynCorp, is a massive software company. And
right.
They don't want to. I mean, that's what killed Blackwater. I mean, Blackwater, had they not been in the lethal force business, would never even be heard from. They'd be making a tidy profit doing training and aviation and armored cars and blimps and things like that. But once you get over to Iraq, and once you're dealing with lethal force or, you know, part-time employees, you're asking for a disaster.
Sure, and that's what we're getting. It's scary stuff. You know, I'm reminded again of Eisenhower's farewell address. I'm sure you recall that. And, you know, the very stuff that we're seeing going on right now is just what he warned would happen. You know, he even talked about how our very liberties that we enjoy would ultimately...
I would recommend to your listeners to rent a movie called The Fog of War, which is about the Vietnam War. And it's about the recollections of McNamara, Robert McNamara, who was a corporate guy who went to work for the government, and how we got into the Vietnam War. Now, you swear when you watch this, you think he's talking about the Iraq War, because it's the exact same thing. And then he goes on to really sort of apologize for what happened and all the miscommunication and the fraud that went on to deceive the public. And it's really, really a soul-searing movie, but it's very apropos to Iraq. It's called The Fog of War.
Yeah, sounds great. I tell you, well, you know, talking about the Iraq War, I mean, do you see this as having been a lie right from the start, or do you think that, you know, Bush was genuinely fooled by faulty intelligence, you know?
No, he can't.
Because after all...
He's not going to get out that easy.
After all, I mean, you have the... Oh, I guess we got a caller. We're probably going to have to wait until after the break, though, to take him. We're almost going to be going to a break here. But you had the – I'm sure you heard of the Project of the New American Century. It's a neocon think tank founded in 1997. William Kristol, of course, and Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Feith, Abrams, all these guys were part of it. But they came up with a document in the fall, in September of 2000, before Bush was even in office. And they had planned what they wanted to see carried out with American foreign policy in the coming years, and they actually proposed one of the things was to go into Iraq.
Well,
they even mentioned seizing
its... Let's cut right to the BS on Iraq. What people seem to forget is that we have been at war with Iraq since 1991. We had been continuously bombing Iraq from the air, both north and south. We had a robust CIA operation in the north and in the south. We had the UN there inspecting every square inch of Iraq, looking for weapons of mass destruction. We had guys from our military and from the Israeli military infiltrating the UN mission there to report back directly to the CIA and to the military what exactly was being found there. We had informers who had left the government, who had left the actual program inside our sort of asset base, and yet all that information somehow vanished or wasn't available. And now keep in mind that George Bush had a father who fought this war, who had access to all that intel, who ran the CIA. So to think that George Bush Jr. didn't know what was going on in Iraq is an absolute...
It's laughable. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you there. Okay, I guess we're actually going to be going to a break in just about probably 10 or 20 seconds. But after the break, stick with us. We got Steve in Kansas. We got Bill in Idaho. I'm going to try to get them in. We're just going to have a few minutes left when we get back from the break. But this has been very interesting stuff. Why don't you go ahead and mention once again your website?
Yeah, it's comebackalive.com. And you can go on there and see videos and read about my books and chat.
All right,
Black
Black
Cafe.
Comebackalive.com, folks. Check it out. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. You've got just a few more minutes left of the show here, so we got to move on real quick. Let's go to Steve in Kansas here real quick. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having my call. I don't mean to be rude, but I think this is the most insulting kind of analysis you can have. It smacks of disinformation, trained CIA agent. I don't buy any of it.
Well, I have your question that my information is not generated by sitting, you know, looking at books and reading newspapers. It's being on the ground with
Well, logic is logic, and all I see is a bunch of red herrings and false flag, you know, straw man crap.
I disagree. I think that logic and common sense guides most truth, and if you start looking at things that don't make sense, you usually find out that you're not actually being told the truth. And
that's right.
Fully understand the threat. In America, you have to actually break it down into things that you know are real, as opposed to, you know, absorbing this whole global war and terrorism as a universal battleground.
Well, the terror comes from the establishment. It's all false flag. It's not these people and these Arabs or, you know, however you want to stereotype. It's all done by the
Viet Cong
cabal.
Wait, if you go to the Philippines, you'll find the...
Steve, we got to cut you off there, buddy. Whoa, what happened there? Ouch.
I was just going to say that if you go to the Philippines, you'll find the battle against Islamic revolutionaries has been going on for 400 years. It's neither new nor different. But the solution to that war is not the same as the one, let's say, in Paris where they burn cars, and it's not the same as the subway bomber in the UK, and it's not the same as 9/11.
Right. I think what he's talking about, though, is, you know, this administration, let's face it, they lie about everything under the sun. You just can't believe or trust anything. We know that all the orange alerts were fake. They were all issued for political reasons. We know that they've capitalized on this fear-mongering stuff. I have a lot of problems with the official 9/11 story. I don't buy a lot of it. You know, I go to the FBI's website.
You can't fight a conspiracy with a conspiracy. You have to fight it with facts. You have to say, this is what I know, right? I may not know everything, but this is what I know. And if enough people
right.
state what they know and you link them together, you come up with the truth.
Well, the point is, we know we were lied into the war in Iraq. There's no question about that. There's grounds right. for impeachment right there, and I think that needs to be done because they're hell-bent on getting us involved in yet more wars and bringing this economy down even more. Anyway, let's go to Bill in Idaho. Real quick, Bill.
I was wondering.
Are you there,
Bill? Yeah, right here. I was wondering if your guest or yourself had looked at the Safari Club discussion. But even more so, I don't know whether you were alluding to Kurt Weldon's discussion of the 12.5 terabytes of documentation that was buried by the Bush administration and never, never, ever saw the light of day in the frauded commission review on 9/11. When are you going to have Peter Lance on with this guest so that we can connect all the dots? Able danger that Kurt Weldon tried to get to the American people is the key of who knew what and when, and that was interagency.
Okay, real quick, Robert, do you have any response?
Like I say, I'm not a fan of conspiracy theories. I can only give you what I know, and then you'll have to patch all the other pieces together. But yeah, there's
right. okay,
questions
well,
that haven't been answered.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, that's unfortunately all the time we have, but I want to thank you, Rob, for coming on, and very interesting stuff. Once again, folks, check out his book, License to Kill. Okay, have a great day, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
With recent internet.